It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And we are here for our UEFA Champions League semi-final review episode. Which, whatever we do, Vishal, is not going to be madder than the two games we have to review.
I think we have just had the two best football games possible for a long, long, long time. I think it is going to take a lot for any fixture, any game to trump what we've just seen across two legs in this Champions League semi-final. And yeah, I think fitting end to the semi-finals. And at some point, you almost wish that there was no final, because these semi-finals, all of them, honestly, all four of them, to some extent, deserve something from the Champions League.
And of course, the teams that we are talking about were involved were Ajax and Tottenham in one of the semi-finals, which has more or less become an all-time classic. And so has the other one, that is Barcelona versus Liverpool, but slightly different reasons, because Barcelona versus Liverpool was essentially a game of two legs, and the team that did better in their own home leg are the ones who are going to the final in Madrid.
Absolutely. This is exactly like you expect how NBA playoffs to play out, right? Like come home and dominate at home and win it. But my God, that was one hell of a domination.
And speaking of that domination, we'll begin actually in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Because that game was somehow a little more saner, even though it involved an injury time winner, even though it involved again a 3-0 aggregate comeback, and all the drama that accompanies it. But Vishal, were Ajax too naive, too inexperienced to let that 2-0 lead on the night and 3-0 lead in aggregate slip and let Tottenham back in the game in the second half? Or was it just a different Tottenham team that had taken to the field in the second half?
Definitely a combination of both, but however naive, we will get higher weightage from my end. Because it doesn't matter how good you are as a football team, it doesn't matter how silky smooth your skills are and how great your passes are. At some point in every football game, it has to get into game management mode and not game domination mode, right? And if you really look at how Ajax played in the first half, they did all the work in the first half. They scored two goals in the first half. All they needed to do in the second half was come out and manage. I'm not saying they needed to sit back and defend, but they just needed to, one, hold on to the ball, two, make sure they made the right passes, no unnecessary passes and touches. And that's a combination of everything that they did, right? While taking nothing away from Spurs, because they did come out in the second half a different team altogether. And the masterstroke here being bringing Llorente on, because Ajax really did not have any answer to Llorente, because what bringing Llorente on facilitated for the Spurs is for the fact that Ajax centre back was Daily Blind, and De Ligt had a proper centre forward to focus on and had to mark him in the penalty box, and that gave the space to Lucas Moura to run in and occupy those little spaces that he found and scored this goal. So, a tactical masterclass, but I honestly think Pochettino should have thought of that from World War, because he also troubled Ajax in the first leg. But this was definite combination of mismanagement and Spurs turning it up pretty majorly in the second half. But Ajax could have managed this game far well, because if you really think about it, right, just before the final goal was scored in the stoppage time, Ajax had a chance to clear the ball. The inexperience that they really showed there was they tried to flick a pass instead of just kicking the ball to the other end of the field. And that exactly cost them the game, because we are not going to reflect on the chances that they didn't take and all that. That's part and parcel of football. It was pure game.
But things they could control and things they could manage, they did not. Another moment that stood out for me was in the third minute of injury time, when they had the ball right in the Spurs' penalty area, or rather in the corner. That is exactly where you want to be if you want to run down the clock. And I forget who it was on the ball who tried a back heel and the ball went out for a goal kick. I mean, clearly not an error you should be making.
Yep. It's the exuberance of youth, right? Like, I can't believe I just used that sentence. It definitely is that, right? Because if you've been there, if you've done that, if you've played in the Champions League final before, you know very well that you're going to stand to the corner and you're going to do everything to protect the ball from going out on the club. But in the larger scheme of things, this was a lesson that was needed for the Ajax players, because a large chunk of these players are future stars, are going to be world-class player footballers, and we all know that they will move on from Ajax at one point or the other. So it is part of the learning curve, right? Because if this team were to stay together by some crazy twist of fate, apart from De Jong, of course, who's already moved to Barcelona, they've learned from their lesson that, let's be honest, from a pure football neutral point of view, I think you and I celebrated the entire Ajax journey for this Champions League from the group stages all the way till the semi-finals. And we in fact spoke about how we need to get back, bring back Ajax jerseys for ourselves, because this is everything that we love about football. Because if you follow the pod, we know how much we follow Dutch football. We know how much global football means to us.
And of course, Johan Cruyff is our appointed patron saint of the podcast. So, although I should clarify that we are only getting two Ajax jerseys, because clearly Karan is not getting one.
Yes.
For obvious reasons.
Getting anything from this episode.
But Vishal, you talked about doing everything possible in your power to keep that ball in the corner when you're trying to run down the clock, which gives us a great opportunity to segue into the other match, where the final image was exactly that. Fourth, yeah. Fifth minute of extra time, or rather injury time again, and James Milner with the ball right out there in the corner, four Barcelona players slamping on him and refusing to give it up. Him being fouled right there to bring an end to an absolutely stunning night at Anfield.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talk about nights at Anfield and Champions League nights at Anfield, and we know that there have been so many of these stunning nights, but even by those standards.
We all watched Steven Gerrard Olympiacos goal. We thought there's no greater comeback from that in 2005. In 2005, they went ahead and did Istanbul. We thought nothing can ever beat that. Then they go ahead and do this. And let's be clear, right? Because when you go to Barcelona, and Barcelona did score those three goals, I wouldn't say outplayed Liverpool, but definitely did their homework in terms of scoring those three goals. And you would think a team like Barcelona's pedigree would not make the same mistake 2 years in a row. And you would also think that three goals and coming to Liverpool for a Liverpool team that needs to score four goals to go through will always open up and back, and Barcelona will take advantage of that. So, in fact, if you were to compare the guys, if you remember, we spoke on the group and I shared an image and I said, I am honestly offended that the odds are higher on Tottenham than the odds are higher on Liverpool. So, and ironically, it turned out to be true. Liverpool did go through to this. The one thing you cannot ever fault this Liverpool team is of effort. Because I still do not think, I will say this out loud, I still do not think they are the most talented players in the world. I still do not think they are the best players in the world. But I definitely think they are the hardest working group of players. Because if you look at the season that they've had, it's gone down to the wire. If you look at the Champions League, everybody said it's done and dusted. Barcelona are going to rip them apart, and they came back and gave us the most special night of football. And being a Man United fan, this hurts, but my good Lord, what a great performance. And I'm also going to say something from a tactical point of view, which a lot of Liverpool fans might not...
Which I wanted to sort of bring in, actually, because one of our most listened episodes was your tactical breakdown of Barcelona's comeback against PSG, which was a couple of seasons ago. So now is a good time to talk about the tactical breakdown the other way around.
I think Liverpool's biggest tactical genius was pure incidental in this, because, like I said, this opinion of mine is not going to be liked by a lot of Liverpool fans, but the best thing that could happen for Liverpool in this game was the fact that Mohamed Salah did play. And I'm going to explain why this was the best thing, right? Because if you look at the way normally Liverpool set up, everything goes through Mohamed Salah. It doesn't matter how, where it ends up, who scores the goal, but Mohamed Salah is the first touch on the half line that Liverpool takes. And everything else is a result of that, where Bobby Firmino then picks up from the middle and then distributes the ball, right? That's a good summary of how Liverpool approach most games. But in the absence of Liverpool, I think this was the most balanced performance from a Liverpool side that I have seen all season. And let's be honest, it's a team that's scored now, that's 95 points in the league, right? But I'll explain why balance. Because the one thing that you and I have constantly criticized Liverpool for the fact is that they do not make runs from midfield. They do not make the late runs from midfield. They do not step into the box and have an additional player occupying those little holes in midfield. And if you look at the first goal where it came from, it's from Martin Henderson, who made a late run into the ball and into the box and took a shot, which then Origi tapped in, right? And if you think about this, when is the last time you see a Liverpool goal that has been a tap in that effortless sense, right? Because what the existing setup of Liverpool doesn't allow is the fact that the midfielders don't really enter from beyond the edge of the penalty box. They play at the penalty box and then fall back. And because of the presence of the likes of Salah, the likes of Firmino and Mane, and of course the wing backs who do their role in terms of crossing the ball. So I think the way Henderson played this game was possibly the best ever performance he's put in any jersey at any point in time in his life. And this is also to do with the fact that he had far more influence in the game, both from a point of defensively, but also from a point of distributing the ball. And then came the genius substitution at halftime of Wijnaldum. And I think if you look at halftime before coming in, the way the assistant and the coaching team were explaining to Wijnaldum as to how he needs to occupy those little spots in the team, because you need to understand that Barcelona, when they started this game, they were set up for this exact same way Liverpool played at New Camp, right? Where they pretty much ruled out Salah and Wijnaldum, who played the striker role that night. And from there, they were prepared for that and they put out the exact same midfield, but they did not plan for the additional midfielders bombing forward. They did not plan for the additional midfielders occupying the spaces that they occupied and the little holes that they occupied. And you could see the sheer impact that had. And let's be honest, and there is no tactical breakdown about the sheer presence of mind of Trent and Alexander-Arnold and Origi, right? Because the only two people who were not switched off on the ground at that point in time were these two people. And it takes sheer genius, it takes eye contact, it takes mental wavelength, and it was on spot. Because to put in a ball in that millisecond, to put it on plate for him and for him to just guide it and with a world-class finish, I think that was just world-class. Like that, a moment like that, a goal like that is not something that we see very often. And if you remember, there was a Robert Perez and Henry who was famous for these goals and these little tricks that they used to pull off against teams. And this was one of those great moments of football where it was just pure smart IQ, high IQ, high football of 10 taking advantage of a weak situation. And Barcelona honestly did not know what hit them. Because on paper, I'm going to say this, Barcelona had the better team, had the better 11, but they did not have the heart that Liverpool brought onto the field.
But did Barcelona also come in with a lot of overconfidence and hubris, which could have actually been the case?
Absolutely. Like, you've never seen Barcelona so wasteful, right? Like, if you look at the chances that they had some very, very good chances through the game, right? And especially in the first half, where if you see Messi had a one-on-one with the goalkeeper, but he tried to basically dig the goalkeeper. He tried to nutmeg the goalkeeper and get around him and score. So, and that cost. And there were a bunch of chances that Barcelona were just not willing to take. And this was a sure case of overconfidence, where they definitely thought Liverpool were done and dusted. And for a team at this level with this many world-class players to have a lax attitude in a game like this, you need to really question the approach in the game and the attitude. And I would also go up to, for finally, I would actually say that you actually need to look at the coach and ask him what were his choices and the choices he made, right? Because simple things like every time Semedo comes on, Barcelona's defense gets better. Why doesn't Semedo start the game, especially when you're up against world-class players that Liverpool have on the wings, right? So there's a lot left to question about Barcelona, because this is now becoming a trend where teams are genuinely starting to think that let Barcelona score at home, but they will come back and be vulnerable at our home, and that's come back to be proven twice now.
And this has happened, of course, it happened last season, like you said. We did not expect that it would be repeated, but it was repeated. This year, it appeared as if Barcelona almost felt it was their destiny or their right to somehow get to the Champions League final. Messi talked about bringing the Champions League back to the Nou Camp and things like that. Did all of that have sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy effect on them, that they were so sure of it that they thought that nothing could possibly go wrong?
This is one of those things where Barcelona thought yes, we're going to do the treble. Because everything was going their way, but you forget this is not the Spanish league. This is not the league where 99% of the times you are simply outclassing your opponents. This is the Champions League. These are the best teams of Europe, and you should have remembered that this is your Liverpool who played the Champions League final last year, and so
you already know that they have what it takes and have just fell short by pure margins last year. So if you really think about it, for Barcelona to approach and for some of them players to say what they were saying, and the whole body language and the whole overconfident approach was something that came back to bite them, and fairly so. But that doesn't take away from anything that Liverpool pulled off on that night, because I think even if Barcelona were at their best that night, I think this Liverpool team would have won, and I'm actually saying that out loud.
And that would have been outstanding. But even then, I mean, of course, like you said, it does not take anything away from an astonishingly good performance, which yep. You mentioned Trent Alexander-Arnold's smartness with the corner kick.
Yep.
Somebody wrote on ESPN FC the next day about how Bob Paisley and Bill Shankly and the gang would talk about this idea of finding the dope, that is the one player or a set of players yep. who have just switched off for that one moment and yep. making them pay the heaviest price possible. And that was exactly Absolutely. The case there. The only difference being the entire Barcelona team were dopes, because everybody exactly. was switched off at that exactly. moment. The Telegraph yep. carried an article about how the Liverpool ball boys had been instructed to give the ball back to Liverpool as quickly as possible when it went out of play. So those kind of little tactical adjustments made this historic night possible. But now, Vishal, we finally take our sights to what is to come. And what is to come is a match between Tottenham Hotspur and Liverpool FC in Madrid on the 1st of June. I mean, one way or another, it's going to either end up with a first trophy for Spurs in Europe, and that's not going to make Arsenal fans very happy. Or it's going to be a sixth trophy for Liverpool, which will mean we'll need to adjust a few song lyrics here and there. But generally speaking, Vishal, you have a very particular message for Liverpool fans out there. Would you mind saying it out on the pod?
Yes, I do. If Tottenham Hotspur get away with the championship, I'm going to first take their jerseys, burn it down, then physically harm each of you, and then go away, because that's the end. Like, if you are managed to pull in this Champions League, because let me be honest, let anybody say who they want, this is Liverpool's Champions League to lose now. I hope Liverpool pull this home.
So the one advantage Liverpool have here is that the final is on the 1st of June, which means some of their injuries and other concerns, they have time enough for those to heal. We have even time enough for a potentially an Oxlade-Chamberlain to get a look in the Champions League final. Arsenal fans, of course, dearly are hoping he hits the winner in.
Arsenal fans can't catch a break.
At the same time, like some Arsenal fans pointed out, that after they got their new stadium, the same year Arsenal also made it to the Champions League final and lost that, and then did not win anything for the next 8 years.
Oh man, Arsenal and Tottenham will never stop coexisting or comparing each other to their mediocrity.
So they are hoping similar luck on Tottenham. But then, Vishal, if we are to make the other case, which is for Tottenham to be potentially winning this, and I mean, from a purely neutral perspective, keeping our partisan preferences aside, you look at this bunch of players and you feel that they are on their day capable of pulling this off.
Absolutely. If you would, at some level, right, if you would, especially on the midfield, if you were to do a man-to-man comparison, this might be a situation where Tottenham do have better midfielders than Liverpool, and Liverpool have better strikers than Spurs. That this might be actually one of those games that can be decided in defence of who's going to be tighter. So it's one of those tricky games, and you're absolutely right. On that day, this Tottenham Hotspur team can turn it on and turn it on quite... ask Ajax, they just saw it in 45 minutes, and that's the capability that they come with, and they're backed by another manager who is just brilliant in terms of getting the best out of their players, in terms of tactical thinking, in terms of being flexible and making changes. So it's one of those games where every stakeholder who's involved, from the manager to the coaches to the players and the tactics, everything is going to come into play.
And there's not one team that's extremely is superior to another team by massive margins. Like, for example, Madrid had the likes of Ronaldo, the likes of Bale. They had a bunch of different makers who would come and turn a game around. But this is actually a very fairly balanced game if you were to look at it from a very neutral point of view, and that could actually have a great this is why this could possibly turn out to be one of the best finals we've seen in a long time.
All right, and we hope that it is, because we will finally bring you the season wrap up and the review of that final when it happens. That's all the time we have for you on this episode of Soccer Sense, which has been a mammoth episode. Vishal, we are closing in on about 20 minutes now. but the games
that's
in
20 minutes we had to bring together. That was a good effort.
Because the stuff we had to pack in those 20 minutes was absolutely epic. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer, or you can subscribe to us on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. We are on Spotify now as well, so search for us under Soccer Sense, or look for us on Audioboom on audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. That's the time we have for you this week. It's been an epic and absolutely mind-boggling week of football, and it's not even Friday. Vishal, we are recording this on Friday. On Sunday, we have the Premier League finale, and we have no idea what awaits us there.
I refuse to think about this.
So, meanwhile, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.